He was hungry. He was desperate. He really wanted to encounter God. He really, really wanted to encounter God. He really, really was desperate. So he came to Jesus by night because he was a leader in the community of theologians. Jesus said something to this man that I pray this morning it will affect every one of us and take us to a new level of obedience. Amen. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you of a truth. If you truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you are born again, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. If I ask everybody here, by the raising of your hands, if you're born again, I believe almost everybody here will raise their hands. But this morning, I pray God will help us understand the power of truly being born again. This man has been in the religious world. He's a Jew, Nicodemus. But he has known the Bible so much. He's in church every day. He's a teacher. He's a high-ranking one. And he was a leader. But something happened as he watched the life of Jesus. He knew there was something different from what he knew. So he went to Jesus by night and started asking him, what must I do to really experience what you have? To really experience what you are saying, what you're talking about, and what I see you manifest. Jesus says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. My brothers and sisters, that is the answer to everything. You cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm not going to take long. I just want to go straight to some things so that we can pray. Hallelujah. God is dealing with me very strongly in this season. And God is challenging me personally. And as the Lord is challenging me, he wants me to challenge you also. Amen? And he's dealing with me about coming up higher to a different platform of faith that I've never been before. How many of you know the scripture that the Lord says, only believe, all things are possible to him that believe? Amen? You all know that scripture? So, only believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Believe, let me give you a natural example, because I believe the Lord wants you to really get something that he's doing in my personal life right now. Let's look at the natural. Amen? Amen? Let's look at the natural. Hallelujah. How many of you in this room can see Pastor Van? All of you can see him. Huh? Okay. So Pastor Van is here. I can see him. So I'm human. Amen? I can see him. So I want Van to bless me with cell phone. Huh? He has a cell phone. Amen? So if I'm believing that Van is, I can see him, I say, Van, can you please, can you give me your cell phone? And watch Van, he turns around, and he gives me his cell phone. How many of you can see it? I have it, isn't it? You can see with your eyes. Okay. Why did Van give me this cell phone? Because I asked him, isn't it? Why did I ask him? Because I saw that he has a cell phone. Huh? I can see with my eyes that he has it. And then because I see that he has it, I asked him, Van, give me cell phone. Because I see he has it. And he stretched his hands and I received it. Amen? Because I see he has it. And I received it, I can see, and I have it. I have his cell phone. Amen. So God said something amazing. He said to Nicodemus, no man can enter the kingdom of God or can experience the things of the kingdom of God unless he's born again. He cannot see the things of the kingdom of God unless he's born again. So, but every one of us here, we're born again. We're born again, and we want to receive things of the kingdom. We want to experience things of the kingdom. So the Bible says, only believe and all things are possible. So when I came to Van, with my physical eyes, I see him. So I believe Van is here. With my physical eyes, I saw the cell phone. So I believe the cell phone is here. I believe because I see. And then why did I ask him? I believe Van is here. I believe I see that he has cell phone. So I believe that if I ask him, he will give it to me. So I asked him because I can see him. And I asked him and Van gave me cell phone. Amen? The only time that we take things from the Spirit, the promises of God, the Word of God, the greatness of God, the faithfulness of God, everything that God is, when we pray, when we're seeking God, everything we're believing for, the only way we can take that out of the spiritual realm, out of the invisible realm to the natural ground, to where I am, to here I am, to meet my natural needs, is by faith. But faith itself is nothing without obedience, without stepping out of it. So when you receive, when you believe, when you pray by faith, the only time you bring it to the natural is when you believe. So I want you to note that faith with action is what the Bible calls belief. Amen? Faith without obedience or action is vain. We can know something, we can have it in our heads, but if we don't act on it, we don't see the power of God moving on that situation. Amen? So the acting on it, the stepping out on it, the receiving of it, is where the Bible calls belief. All things are possible to them that believe. So belief is basically something you really see and you know it's real. Something you can literally see that is real, is there, and you ask and you know you receive it and you know you have it. How does that work spiritually? We've been coming to church, we've been praying. God started showing me something in this season. I want us to read a scripture together from the book of Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. You can put it on the screen, but I'll just read from this NIV also. It says, "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley full of bones. He led me all around among the bones that was covered, bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones become living people?'" That's what it's. "Can they become living people again? Can these bones live?" "O sovereign God," I replied, "you alone know the answer to this." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic word to these bones. Speak, say unto these bones, to these dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. See," or "look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you shall come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke, I prophesied, as the Lord said, gave me this message, just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, did you see that? As I spoke, there was a rattling or a shaking, a noise across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeleton. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then the Lord said unto me, "Speak, prophesy to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic word." I prophesied to the wind. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Then he prophesied to the wind, "Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bones so that they may live again." So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, 'We have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Lord, the sovereign Lord, is saying. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you and you will live again and return to your homelands. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" says the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we fell as man from the garden, one of the things that happened to man was spiritual blindness. Amen? Spiritual blindness. So when Jesus came and died for our sins, now when we receive Jesus, something happens to us. We are born again. Why are we born again? Because God, the person we are before, cannot see spiritually. He's dead. So now that we are born again, now we are a new creature inside of us. And this person that we are is not the person we used to be. Amen? Amen. This person that we are has eyes, has ears, is a person, is a spiritual man. Amen? Now, when I look at Van and the illustration I just gave to you this morning, I am looking at Van naturally. Amen? I am seeing Van naturally. I asked Van naturally, and I believed Van would give me naturally, and he gave me this thing, and I see it. So, for us to experience and to embrace and to have the breakthroughs and to rule and to exercise the things God is calling us to experience, we cannot do it naturally. We have to see with the spiritual eyes. We have to hear with the spiritual ears. We have to believe with a spiritual heart. And we have to step out by faith. That's obedience. And things will begin to change. Let me use a natural situation and a spiritual situation that took place before we go into the revelation here. God spoke to a man called Abraham. Amen? And he brought this man out of the world and he gave him a promise. And the promise was just God speaking to him. It says, Abraham, you'll be father of nations. Abraham received that word, stepped out by faith, and nothing happened. And you all know this story. Abraham went for years, nothing happened. In Genesis 17, something happened. What happened in Genesis 17 was a new encounter Abraham had with God. And in this experience Abraham had with God, God shifted Abraham's mindset. Abraham still looks the same on the outside, but on the inside, something has changed in this experience. And so, what changed inside of Abraham? God wanted Abraham to manifest the fruit of what has changed inside of him to bring that result into the physical realm. In other words, Abraham experienced something. It has happened inside of him. But Abraham has to cause that thing to come manifest to the physical realm. Because that's where our struggle is. What was it? A change took place. A breakthrough has come to Abraham's life. And God says, Abraham, I've given you a breakthrough. But this is how you will see this breakthrough become reality and people will believe. He says, from now on, this breakthrough that you received should not stay in your heart. It should come out of your mouth. Who you are on the inside is who you speak that you are on the outside. You will no more say that you are this barren man, this fruitless man. You are no more Abraham. People still see you that way, but that's not who you are anymore. Because of what you've experienced right now, you are Abraham, you are a fruit bearer. Nations have come inside of you. You are now a life giver. You are now the father of nations. A shift has taken place inside. It started in the spirit. It's taking place inside. He says, the only way you are going to cause what is happening on your inside to be manifested on the outside is that you speak what is on your heart. So he told Abraham, no more call yourself what you are, who you are, and your limitations, everything that you be. Something has happened to you. It's on the inside. But when you keep speaking it, it will come to the front. So Abraham, God used him as an example to show us the power of confessing faith, believing faith. Not something you always, you just do once, but something you do. So this is the way God did it. God says, now call yourself by a new name. Don't call yourself anymore by what he said. Call yourself Abraham. The change of name is wonderful. Amen? But the mystery, the secret behind the change of name is a change of mind. Galatians chapter 4 says, though God has made us lords and spiritual sons with great inheritance, he says, the only difference is that our mind, if it's not changed, will still be living in our past and who we used to be. Say, but after we go through some transformation process, before we have the ability now to begin to speak our identity into the spirit, into the natural realm. So God told Abraham, all these people that have been around you all these years, they know that you received the promise. But now, the breakthrough has come. At this time that the breakthrough came, God says, start calling yourself by this new name. And when God started telling him to do that, remember, Sarah's womb is dead. Amen? Sarah's womb is dead. So God now says, Abraham, call yourself father of nations. You are now a life giver. By reason of this experience, you started calling himself by this new experience, by what God has spoken. And when he started doing that, guess what happened? What he was confessing, because that's who he really is, on the inside, and he's speaking it out on the outside, that thing started giving life to things that are dead. And Sarah received the power to become pregnant. And Abraham, that was dead on the outside, because of who he is on the inside, gave life, and Isaac was born. So, when Abraham was struggling, God, you gave me promise. God, you told me this. God, you told me that. God, you know, I've been praying. I've been waiting. And the more I wait, the more it looks like nothing is happening. God gave him another secret before this. God told him, brought him outside. He says, Abraham, you can only believe what you see. So I want you to come outside and look at the stars. I want you to come outside and look at the sand, and I want to give you a mental picture of who you are in the spirit. Because if you don't understand the natural, you cannot speak forth the spiritual. The things of the spirit are released through declaration, by faith. It's not just you say it, you have to believe it when you say it for it to become a reality. But you cannot believe it if you don't see it. So, he says, Abraham, do you see this star? He says, yes. Do you see this? So, what if God gave him a vision, but he used the natural to show him the spiritual. So, when Abraham believed the stars and believed the sun, he says, so is who you are on this inside will produce nations. Amen. Vision begins in the spirit. And God, when you receive, say, write it down so that you can read it and run with it. Why is it called, why will something you read become a vision? Because a vision that originates from God has the ability, inside of you to produce. How does that work? Let me show you what a vision looks like. This morning, if you receive the conclusion of what I'm sharing with you, you will change your circumstance. What I'm sharing with you, I'm experiencing it, but far from what I want to experience. But the little I'm tasting and the little I'm understanding now is giving me more confidence. And God is saying, it's causing my faith to go to the next level. So as I'm talking to you now, be looking at situation that has stared you in the face that looks impossible. It might be a small situation, but you are about to translate things in the past to present breakthroughs. The ability to see is the ability for you to believe. Amen? So God spoke to Abraham, like I just told you, and it never happened. And it looks like nothing has happened for many, many years. And God gave him that mental picture. But what is happening inside? I want you to know this. Inside, this is vain. God says, it is Abraham, you're going to produce nations inside of you. And nothing was happening. But it was, that thing was building on the inside. It was building on the inside. And finally, when that breakthrough came, it was matured. And God says, now you've come to a place of maturity. I want you to believe what is taking place on the inside more than what you see on the outside. And I want you to declare it. We cannot enter the kingdom of God except we see. So, in Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, God wanted to use Ezekiel again as an example. He wanted to use Ezekiel as an example. He brought Ezekiel to a valley, to a troubled place, to a place where it was a valley. And there were bones there, dry, dead, dry bones. And he brought Ezekiel by the Spirit to this valley. And he said, Ezekiel, what do you see here? What are you seeing? As a man, Ezekiel looked and said, all I see are dead, dry bones in the valley. And God says, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, God, you alone knows. And God taught Ezekiel a lesson that I'm learning now. He taught Ezekiel what he taught Abraham. In the natural, as natural people, what we see is what we believe. And if we see something that is dead, that's what we believe, and that's it. If we see something that is alive, that's what we believe. If we see something that we can make happen, that's what we make happen. If we see something that we don't have the strength for, we give up, we lose hope, that's it. In the natural, we have limitations, and what we see and what we go by, our feelings, is the extent to which we can do anything in life. But in the kingdom of God, it's not the same. The kingdom of God is not the same. The kingdom of God only works by the ability of God. And the kingdom of God only operates by what God is saying and what God is doing. Amen? So, Now, God brought Ezekiel in the spirit to this valley. And Ezekiel, he says, son of man, is seeing what men can see. Your situation. Your circumstance. As it is naturally. The things you're dealing with. The things I'm dealing with. The things I'm believing for. All these things are in this valley. It's natural. It's fact. It's a reality to the natural man. But God says, I want to show you what I see. And I want to show you how the kingdom of God sees it. So God sees dry, dead bones as an army. He sees these dead, dry bones as Israel. He sees them as powerful people. He sees them as people that will change the world. He sees them as victorious army. That's what God sees. That's what God sees. But what God sees, God himself has to speak for that thing to become a reality. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the Spirit of God. Nothing happens without God speaking. God sees it, but until God speaks it, it doesn't happen. So God wanted Ezekiel to know that when the Spirit of the Lord, when the kingdom of God is upon you, what you see in the Spirit, when you speak it, will be enforced by the kingdom of God. So God is saying, Ezekiel, you are now in the Spirit. And I want you to know that in the Spirit, these bones can become exactly what God sees them to be. So, how are these bones going to leave the picture in the Spirit? God sees it in the Spirit. God says it in the Spirit. How are these bones going to leave what we see spiritually to what will manifest in the physical? He said, it's by prophesy. Prophecy is divine inspiration. You are not speaking your words. You're speaking under the unction, under the revelation, under the inspiration of God by faith into a situation, into a circumstance. So Ezekiel, in the spirit, not in the natural now spoke to the dry bones. And Ezekiel watched this impossible situation start taking shape and shape and shape. I want you to please open quickly to Mark 11. Mark 11. I'm just sharing with you what God is doing with me. We are breaking this bread together. Amen. If you come to my house and we're together, if you come to visit me, if I eat pizza, I will share pizza with you. If I eat pandeed yam, I'll share with you. Amen. So this is what I'm eating, and it's good that we share together. So I want you to open to Mark 11. I want you to see before ever the disciples of Jesus ever started doing anything, this is what Jesus was showing them about the kingdom of God. Amen. Mark 11, 22. I'm not looking at you like you just got born again today or you've been in church. The Bible says it's the Spirit that keep quickening it. What I'm speaking, maybe one or two people will get it. But it will change how you see things. It will change your environment because he's doing that for me. Jesus said, have faith in God. I tell you of a truth. If you say to this mountain, if you say, you say to this mountain, be thou removed, or be thou, King James says, be thou removed and thrown into the sea. It will happen. Some Bible say it will obey you. You be lifted up and thrown into the sea and it will happen. But you must really, what? Believe that it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. I mean, this is in the Bible. But It's not practical unless we understand the practicality of it. God can never lie. So if this is truth, it must apply to our life. And if it has to apply to our life, we have to have understanding how it works. That's what I'm sharing with you. Jesus was hungry and was going from Bethany back to Jerusalem. It was on his way going to Bethany after they were coming from Jerusalem. And he looked at the tree, was hungry, and there was no fruit. And Jesus didn't say, "I curse you this day, I curse you, I curse you." No. He just said, "No man shall eat fruit of you anymore." Simple word. So they went to Bethany. They finished. The next morning they were going back. They went early to Jerusalem, finished at the temple. The evening they were returning, and Peter saw, 24-hour interval, saw that the tree was totally dry from the roots. Say, "Ah, master," that's how this came about. The tree you cursed, the word curse that Jesus used was just, "You will not," he spoke a word. And that's when Jesus says, "Let me tell you of a truth. If you will say to this mountain, be it moved, the mountain will obey you." But he says the key is, you will believe that what you say will happen. That's why I started. In the natural, I have no doubt Ven is sitting here. I have no doubt he has a cell phone, because I can see it. I can see it. So now, if I have no doubt because I can see it, then I'm able to believe that I can talk to him. Then I'm able to believe that I can ask him. Then I'm able to believe that I have it. Amen? It's the same. The difference, one is natural, the other is spiritual. So, how do we bridge the gap? This is natural and you can believe it. Why is the spiritual side where we struggle? Is because the spiritual side requires seeing. Until you see something, you cannot believe. In the natural and in the spirit. Until you see something, you cannot obey. You cannot run with it. You can't take. There is no risk in the spirit. It only looks like risk when you have not really seen. When you see in the spirit, it's not a risk, it's faith. And without this, it's impossible to please God. So let's go back now, let's put this together. God said to Abraham, "Something has happened inside of you." Abraham believed it. Why? Abraham experienced it. Abraham knew it. Abraham felt it. Abraham saw it. And then God says, "I want you to establish a covenant of circumcision." This encounter was so powerful. This thing was so real. There was nothing in Abraham that could doubt what he was experiencing. Amen? But thank God he always meets us where we are. Even when Abraham was experiencing this, God told Abraham, "This experience you've had, the breakthrough will still come through Sarah." Abraham said, No. "How is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? Sarah's womb is there. The situation is there. My circumstance." No, let's think about another way. I can't get back to school. I can't do this. I can't. No. That situation is so impossible. I can't. No, it's so impossible. Let us do it. I believe you, but maybe you do it another way. God says, "No, you don't understand. What you just experienced will put you on the same platform with my ability to make things happen. But you have to speak on my behalf. You have to speak on my behalf." Now, by revelation, Many people quote the scripture, but they don't understand. That's why I'm bringing it to the physical. Paul was saying to the Roman church, he says, we believe with our heart and we confess with our mouth and receive salvation. How many of you here know? How many of you are born again? Do you know that's the greatest miracle ever on the face of the earth? You were dead. You were in sin. We are lost. We are totally in bondage. We are gone. And all of a sudden we say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done. And that you're sitting here today because of that action of faith. That miracle took place. That same miracle came because you saw, you understood, you believed, and you acted. The same thing God is saying to us here. Paul says, you have to believe in your heart Jesus died. You have to believe that he rose from the dead, and you have to speak it with your mouth. And then you see salvation. So the example God is giving here is, you cannot really experience and manifest the things of the kingdom without kingdom eyes. You can hear with your ears, but every time you see the scripture, keep saying, he that hears what the Spirit is saying, not what I'm saying. So Abraham, God said, now, you're going to see what I've been telling you come into the physical realm. It is now manifested in your heart, but it's going to come in the physical realm. So how does it come in the physical realm? Begin to speak it forth. Romans chapter 4, it says, Abraham started calling the things that be not as though they were. Amen? Things that be not as though they were. What does that mean? Exactly what God told Ezekiel to do to the bones. He said to Ezekiel, you call it bones, but I call them an army. So begin to call them by what I see. Begin to call them by what you see. So Ezekiel started, prophecy started. Prophecy is not natural words. Prophecy is speaking the word of the Lord. Say, dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Not the words of man, but the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Now, let me show you a vision, how this works. How God has vision. How many of you want a vision? Good. You see this word here? It's about to come alive. It's about to become a vision to you in a different way. What is a vision? The Bible says in the beginning, John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was what? In the beginning was what? The Word. W-O-R-D. The Word. The Word that comes out of God's mouth. The Word. The Word of God. And the Word was what? With God. Where was it with God? It was in the heart of God. Say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In the heart. We're born again, eh? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. Huh? And the word was what? God. Because God and his word are what? One. 1 John 2. Three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So, God and his word are one, but it's in God's heart. And the Bible says, there was nothing that was created without what? The word. In the beginning, God said, let there be. With everything was made by the word. Amen? And then he says, the word is life. It's the life of God. Then finally he says, the word is light. And then in John 1:14, he says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? So guess, watch this. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Van is flesh and blood. Amen? Before he got saved. Now, when he got born again, the word of God became flesh in him. So when you are born again, vain is still doesn't change outwardly. It's still the vain that you know. But something has happened when he got born again. The word of God became flesh. Jesus now manifests in him. But when we are not matured, we don't know what that manifestation is. See, he says in the beginning was what? The word. And the word was with God. And the word was what? God. So now when Jesus manifests in you, who is inside of you? Who is inside of you? It's hard to believe. Can you say it loud? Who is inside of you? Then the word and God are one, isn't it? So if the word of God is inside of you, greater is he that is who? Inside of you than he that is in the world. God lives inside of you. You have to be bold and understand that. Know you not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? So, if God lives inside of you and the word of God inside of you, guess what God was telling Ezekiel? When I am in you, Abraham, you are no more Abraham, you are now Abraham. Don't speak like Abraham. Speak like Abraham and things will change. What is dead will receive life. Sarah, you are a mother of nations. You are going to give something that is dead. As he was confessing this thing, something happened one night and that's it. Something just happened. You have to believe it. And what you believe, you don't change. If I see Ven sitting here, you can bring the whole police here. You can bring the whole army and say they will kill me. They will cut my head and say, Ven was inside. I say, no, Ven was sitting here. I can say it. That's the same thing. When you see in the spirit, and when you understand in the spirit, let them tell you they're going to put you in a fiery furnace. It doesn't make sense to you because it's real. How can somebody tell me to lie that Van is not staying here? I can see Van here. For me to say Van is not sitting here, meaning I'm lying. It's the same thing in the spirit. When you get a hold of it, when God does this shift in your heart, and this word becomes alive inside of you, why would somebody come and tell you it's not there? Well, it's there. So God is saying, if you want to see the supernatural manifest in the natural, you have to speak boldly what you believe in your heart. You have to speak it with your mouth. And things will start happening. It says, God says, if you speak to the mountain, mountains are like bones. Mountains are like Sarah's womb. Mountains are things that stand in your way or things that are mocking your ability to confess and be a true witness of Jesus Christ. Things that make you still believe that you're a human being when inside of you, you're in partnership with a supernatural world. That's what makes Christianity alive. Nicodemus was tired. When he saw the supernatural from religion, he says, no, I must know what the secret is. And Jesus says, you must see. You must have eyes to see. You must see the kingdom different from the kingdom of man. The word made flesh and dwelt among us. And that word is in our hearts today. So the Lord started dealing with me in this season. He says, there's some situation. I was like, God, it's taking so long. God says, the season has changed. Maturity. Those things that have been working inside of you, like Abraham, those things have been preparing, a maturity has come. A shift has taken place. Don't be crying to me. Let faith come out of your mouth. Speak on my behalf. Then if I don't do it, then you can cry to me. Amen? So, it begins with confession. This is how you say it. 1 Corinthians 2nd, I think 5 something says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? So, if you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that's where you're born again. Now, some of us might sleep and, you know, watch pornography or watch this or slip into something, and the devil comes and starts beating you. Oh, you messed up, you're dead, you're gone, you're this, you're that. Your dad, you're falling. All you need to say is, have you not asked God to forgive you? And repented? You've done that. When you do that, there is no devil. There is no condemnation when you understand who lives inside of your heart. So now, how do you defeat this thing that is tormenting your mind because you know? You've already confessed. God, you say, he that confesses his sin, God has washed him from all unrighteousness. So an example is, when the enemy comes, after you've walked past that part, you just speak the word. Only. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't base my righteousness on my flesh, on my soul or whatever. I am the righteousness of God. By birth in Christ Jesus. My sisters, my brothers, when you say that, there is only one thing Satan bows to and trembles, is the word of God. Your mind might not understand it. Your feelings might not understand it, but if you say it long enough, your mind will be free. That spirit will run. That condemnation will flee, because the word of God is like a sword. It's sharp and it goes beyond your soulish realm. It goes beyond your mind. When you are speaking, something is happening to you without your knowing it. Because the word of God quickens. It divides the soul. It cuts through everything that is fighting you. And even in the spirit, it's a sword. The Holy Spirit is and says, Satan, away from me. Jesus, in his great everything, God allowed the devil to come and tempt him. What did Jesus do? He didn't say, I'm Jesus, get away that. He says, this is what the word says. This is what the word says. Man shall not live by bread alone. That Jesus spoke the word. And Satan flee. The word is his sword. Is the weapon for spiritual warfare. The word is the authority of the believers to make things happen. The word of God is being settled in heaven. He says, I have given you power. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound. It's true by the word. How can you bind things on earth, on heaven, and heaven back you up? Because the word of God is settled. Whenever you speak the word, you stand on it long enough, everything you're standing for will give way for what God has said. It might take time to test your faith, but sometimes it comes just that quick. Amen? My brothers and sisters, what I'm just telling you, what I just summarized to you this morning, is that you have authority. The authority is not your flesh. The authority is not anything you've done. The authority is the word of God. This is the greatest authority on the face of the planet. And once you know how, you believe this is in your heart, then you have authority in your mouth. And it's faith. Let me be honest with you. Everything today that I do came out of this. Nationwide, citywide, localwide. I just came from a conference. And the things that the doors God is opening all over the place is because what is in my heart, I believe it and I'm speaking it. A few months ago, I didn't feel, I just, I just, God just put in my heart, how can you be using a car when somebody needs it better than you do? And I gave the car away. I just started managing with me and my wife. I could drive the church van. The most important thing in this life is just be obedient to God. Let me tell you, the moment you answer the call to be a Christian, don't be looking at the world. When you have, God will bless you. When you don't have, that's one quality a Christian should have. Be content and thank God. We are the only people that should be happy when we don't have. Because we don't live by what is outwardly material. We live by what is permanently internal inside of our heart. Paul says, I've learned to be abased. I've learned. When we are called to Christianity, we are also called to suffer the cross. The world can complain about it, but we understand the cross is a promotion for us. Because all it's doing is crucifying the flesh. Promotion will always come. Blessings will always come. But until it comes, you must be content with Jesus by himself. That relationship you have is sufficient. So I thank God I have a car. I was telling my wife, I said, this car is already done 100,000 miles. I've never used a car that long because we travel a lot. I want a car without mileage again. Every car I've had is like that. God provides it without mileage on it. So I said, she said, we just left it. Not that I confess it every day, but I know in my heart, God has a car he to provide. And a few weeks ago, somebody called and said, go to the parking lot and get any car you want. This is somebody that will not necessarily do it in the natural. But when it's God's time, God will use anything to fulfill his promise. Zero mileage. Absolutely zero mileage. But material things they encourage me, but it's what I like is spiritual things. I just came from a conference. Whenever I go away now, I say, God, I don't want to do anything that is not in alignment, that doesn't have internal purpose. I don't want to do anything unless it's you. And it's difficult, but you rest when you come to that place. You're not striving to do everything. If God wants me to do one thing today and I do that thing, my flesh will be screaming, you're not doing. But if that's what God is doing, that's what I want to do. So I said to God, this new season, I just want to follow what you show and what you're doing and does. And a lot of things have happened in these last few weeks. Big things. The one I like most was, sometimes when God sends me on an assignment, I was the main speaker for the Willing Women Conference this year. When God sent me on assignment, I said, God, what do you want to do? I pray. So the assignment was to speak on the spirit of Jezebel and the activities of that. To take it, not the what you read on the internet, but really to uncover the spiritual world to them and how it affects mankind. So I was, God, I was here, but how do I, what, I want to know what you do and stuff like that. So the night I was to speak the next day, I couldn't sleep. I prayed all night. I woke up that morning and just slept a little bit. As soon as I went to sleep, God showed me what he was going to do. And in the whole trip, that's my joy. Nothing else. Every other thing that happened, this one thing was my fulfillment, that I was able to do something that was on God's heart. And what was it? Just a little example. The spirit of Jezebel is a deceptive spirit. It's a sly spirit. When it's weak, to get a hold of you when you're stronger. But when the spirit of Jezebel takes over, and uses domination. Amen? So it's like a serpent spirit. So every time, sometimes when I go through spiritual warfare, sometimes God will use serpents, use snakes or something like that. So after I finished prayer all night, I woke up, I was in this dream, and all of a sudden, God spoke to me clearly, but he used a picture in a dream. that this meeting, the victory has come. And what happened was, I was in a place, and it's like I saw this mighty snake, serpent, out there. But I know I've seen this serpent, because I'm talking about a spirit, a serpentine spirit. I've seen it out there. But then I was in a place, I was kneeling like here, and I looked on my right hand, and I saw a closet. A closet is a prayer place, or a private place, a secret closet. And I looked in this closet, and I saw the snake in the closet, but it was hiding. But he didn't know that half of his body was already exposed. So I could see the snake, and mighty snake, but the rest of his head and stuff was hidden. He didn't know he was hiding. And God was showing me how this spirit has been hiding in the church and doing havoc. So, immediately I saw it, the snake didn't know I've seen it. That's God showing you things in the spirit. So I went out, and all of a sudden, from nowhere, a stone came into my hands. And I took the stone, and I hit the snake exactly in the middle, and the snake just fell in that closet and was squabbling, and it was just trying to survive. And all of a sudden, I knew that I can't leave the snake there. I came quickly, and all of a sudden, I saw a sword into my hand. I went straight, and I grabbed the head of the snake with my left hand and chopped off his neck with the sword. And immediately I did that, I woke up, and God says, just like Goliath, a victory has been achieved. Yeah. And when God finished with the message that day, only God knows what happened and the other things. But Jesus says the Son can do nothing unless what he sees the Father do. That's what gave me joy. Thank God for material things. But I like to see victory in the spirit before I see it in the natural. So I want to encourage you. This morning as we pray, I want you to start praying the scripture from today in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15 to 19. Where Paul says that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that your spiritual eyes be open, that you might know things that God has endowed you with. You might walk in the reality of who you are on the inside, not what you're dealing with on the outside. And from today, now, I'm telling you, this is what God is telling me. God is really sitting on me. Don't whine. Don't complain anymore. I have put authority in your heart. All you need to do is speak it forth. And he's doing it. Don't look at how you feel on the outside. If your leg is hurting you, I have done it. Say, leg, you are walking. Leg, I'm speaking that you are whole. Leg, you will walk. You're walking. You're still going like this. Leg, you're walking. Let it be 1 week. Never believe, never speak what you feel and what you see. That's how the kingdom works. Never say you are poor. No matter if you don't have money to pay your bills. That's how I pay my bills. I can't depend. What comes out of Mount Zion can't pay the church bill. We struggle. But I have to speak things. He knows everything about our condition of finance. You can't depend on what you see and how you feel. That's human. You have to speak. This is your authority. When it comes out of your mouth, you reign. Amen? Amen? How many of you believe it? You believe what you see. How many of you saw something this morning? What did you see? What did you see? This is a teaching, isn't it? So I'm going to ask a question. What did you see? Keisha, yes. Huh? I like that. That tells me she saw something. See, she didn't say what I was saying. She said what God, based on what she's seen, God gave her what she needed. You know what she said? She said, I see peace. Did I mention peace here? She got it. She customized this word and she addressed a need. She saw peace and she has her peace. That's breakthrough. Jennifer, what did you see? Is that Jennifer? Okay. All right, while you're thinking, who else saw something here? You see joy? You see joy. So you took here what the Lord, the Spirit, what I was saying is different. But what you had by the Spirit releases joy. Amen? Over your situation. So joy is yours. That's what breakthrough is. Who else saw something? Yes. Delight. What did you see? You see scholarship. You have it. Now, if you see scholarship, what do you do for it to manifest? Huh? We passed prayer now. It says you have to. You pray, of course. But this thing now is saying, when you see, you believe. When you believe, you speak. So when you leave this place, you say, I have scholarship. That's faith. You are speaking like God. Why? Because now you understand you are a child of God. You're speaking like God. You don't say, I will have, I will not. No, you say, I have it. That's how God speaks. Because it's finished. It's a finished work. Who is raising your hand? Stand up. Let me see who that person is. Adese, what did you see? Amen. Victory. Now, how do you manifest that victory? In the things you believe you have victory for, based on what God has said. You got it. Victory is yours. Didn't Jesus say, according to your faith, be it unto you? What is faith? Faith, you hear and you believe. Faith comes by hearing. When you receive it by faith, you have what you believe. Didn't he say you have what you believe? Amen! Amen! One more person. What did you see? What's your name? Huh? Linda. Linda, stand up and declare what you believe, what you see. What did you see? Amen. You see, that's I'm so happy. I'm so happy because they're not quoting what I was quoting. I'm not saying you shouldn't quote it. But they understand, and by understanding, they've customized it to their need. And now, you'll be calling every cause broken. Because what you see, you believe. If you believe it, it's finished. Now you have to keep speaking it and believe what you speak is what God performs. So, cause broken. You believe it, and you'll be saying it, and you walk in it. That's victory. You believe your peace, you speak it, and you walk in it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm going to call somebody to come and pray for us based on what they see. Who will come and pray for us and close this meeting? See, this is practical experience. Who come and pray for us based on what? Who is that? Okay, come. Yeah, come. See, what God is teaching me now is raise up an army. That's inheritance. Amen? Okay, you pray for us. And who is doing announcement? Come quickly. Stand up together and stand in agreement.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, because your word in Mark 11:24 says that whatever we pray and believe, that you have given it to us. Thank you, because, Lord, you have given us the power to speak things into existence. Yes. What kind of power is that? We don't know how great it is. Thank you, because you have showed us this grace that you have given us. Help us to manifest it. Help us to use it. Help us understand the power we have as children of God. Because we are sons and daughters of God, there is great power in us. Help us utilize it. Help us to speak peace into our life. Help us to speak victory. Help us to speak your faithfulness. Help us to see dry bones and say this and ambi. Help us to see dryness and say we have children. Help us to see. Help us to see what you have given to us. Help us to see beyond our physical and see to the spiritual. Help us to speak the things that are. Help us to see the things that. To say the things that are as if they were. The way Abraham says it. He calls the things that are not as if they were. We see open brokenness and we say wholeness. Help us to see and help us to speak. Lord King of Glory, we thank you because you've answered our prayers. Thank you because from now henceforth we walk in victory and walk in the fulfillment of who you are and who you've made us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for always holding us. Thank you because from now henceforth, all that we are going to see is going to happen in our lives. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.